For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey guys, what's up? It's James Stewart. You know where we at. It's the Rewind Show, baby. Round 12 from Seattle, Washington. It's the last stop before they go on Easter break. Gonna find little Easter eggs and the Easter bunny comes out.
Don't think it's honestly Easter because Easter is the weekend after.
What? I said they're gonna go find some eggs. They racing on Easter.
It's Ramadan.
Ramadan? Where the hell holiday is that? It's been a long, long season. You know, obviously you can kind of tell from last couple weekends, guys been getting in fights.
Samford came out of nowhere.
And this is not part of Monster Energy Supercross.
I think it's just from being agitated. Even though the West Coast is back, they've been on break. I think everybody's tired of racing over and over and over. It's been 12 weeks straight. So last stop before you get one weekend off. Poor babies. Poor babies. We've been doing it every weekend too, except for we were out one weekend. But nonetheless, we back, baby. The Rewind, Seattle, Washington. Let's get into it. And, you know, of course, somebody's going to get a neck burn. And it ain't too, you know, it's not like a mystery. But let's find out anyway. Let's get into it. Seattle, actually, believe it or not, Cole. Believe it or not, people on TV land, YouTube, podcast, wherever you're listening. Seattle is one of my favorite places to race at. It usually always rained when I went up there. It was technically raining here. But I always enjoy Seattle, one, because the people up north were awesome. Like, they always got into it. They don't call that place the 12th man for no reason, but they were always super into it. I felt like Seattle, even though the tracks were like never really like that gnarly, it was always rutted, like fun, kind of like what Tomac looked like he was doing this weekend. It was always a fun track, so always enjoy it going up there. And even when it did rain, the dirt up there was soft enough, and with those rocks it kind of helped. It was a mud fest, but it wasn't that bad compared to if it rained in, like, per se, like Dallas. Well, they got Jerry's World. Or Anaheim was super slippery. It was always just sticky. So I enjoyed going up to Seattle, and it looked like, from the likes of it, Eli enjoyed it also. You know, like, he looked good from press day. I knew he was going to win from press day. I think everybody else sensed that he was going to win from press day too. And, you know, a little nugget too, I always found that when I rode press day that the weekend actually went smoother, which kind of contradicts what I always say. The less time I have on the track, the better off I am. Well, maybe not the better off I am, but the harder it was for my competition to catch up because they didn't have enough footage and per se rain delays. But I always felt like when I showed up on race day after on press day, the bike was good. And you could tell that Tomac, from free practice to the first practice, all the way to the end of the night show, he just felt really comfortable. And, you know, when was the last time you seen Eli pull a hole shot and just dip out on fools? Just dip out. I mean, Barsha was there. But he looked like Anderson a couple weeks ago, where he looked like he was just trying to, like, stay there. And, you know, Eli said it in at the end of the race, was like, you know, I just took off. I was giving him the business, essentially. He should have just said this. Look, I whole shot it. They knew it was over. I gave him the business. This was a wrap. But you could tell he was trying, and he was in the zone. So he was in the flow mode, the new flow mac, toast mac, whatever you want to call it. That's what it was. So, guy looks better than I ever have. And Cole asked me a question during the break right there, was, you know, when you get in this, everybody kind of sense, like, when he made that move to, you know, Yamaha, and he struggled last year on the Kawasaki, like, you know, even the outdoor, not winning an outdoor title for the last 2 years, essentially. What his career was over. A lot of people thought his career was over. And to me, like, I kind of found that perspective in 2014, like when you just struggle and people start writing you off, and then you slowly start like coming back. You start like, you know, win a heat race, you know, top five, and then you win a main event. And then all of a sudden, like you come into this year and you know, you're riding good, but like everybody else is like, you got to kind of prove it to everybody else. And, you know, you're racing these guys as if they don't fear you anymore. And then you just come out and then you get a victory. And then they're like, oh, well, he always gets a victory. He's Tomac. And then he gets another one. And all of a sudden you start rounding them off. And I didn't do that in 2014, but I felt like every race I, you know, competed in, like, you know, 17 of them, I could have won 14 of them. You know, when I showed up at the gate, I felt like I could have won them. And I see that with him. So I guess what I'm getting to is that you find a new perspective on, you know, enjoying racing in a different way. That what I believe Eli's found is a new perspective on life in general, because he has a kid now, I think maybe one or two. He's got Tricks for Kids, got two of them. Wow. He's got two kids. He's almost playing with house money, and essentially like nobody thought he'd be this good. I don't think he even thought he would be this good. And, so I think he's found in enjoyment in racing in general. And you can just kind of tell just his press conference, he looks super laid back. And then now he's on a roll. So that's a great position to be in, like from the bike, from family life to, you know, the team, just everything is kind of like just rolling. And I think back in the day when, you know, I went 24-0 and probably Eli won those championships back in his day, I could tell he didn't enjoy it that much. I didn't, you know, like you win, your whole goal is to win. So everything in life, if you don't do it, your whole week is messed up. Well, I believe now like he's winning, but when he doesn't, it's okay. Cause he goes home to little Johnny and Timmy, whatever, or his daughters, you know, Rachel and Renee, I don't know. He goes home to that and he's changing diapers. He's just enjoying life. And it's just a process and really just enjoying the moments in between the victories, and the victories are coming. So you could just see that fulfillment in his racing. And it's cool to see, like it's we're watching history. Really. We're watching one of the best guys that's ever raced Supercross be at his best when people kind of wrote him off. And that just shows like a determination that he always had it. But it just shows what things in life can do. Whatever that move was from Kawasaki to Yamaha, whatever clicked in his brain, it happened. Whether it was popping out a little baby, another little baby, something's happened. And case in point, we're watching it every weekend. So it's cool to see. And, you know, at this point, these guys are racing for second at the, like, I mean, they're trying. And if he rides anything, 90% of this, he's going to win. And again, I think they know it. And it's been a while since I've seen a rider, I said this before, changed the way everybody else rot, maybe since JS, I don't know, Ryan Dungey, those guys, Ricky Carmichael. He's changing the way those guys are approaching their own racing. Barsha knew he had to try to stay with him. Hopefully Eli made a mistake. He ends up making a mistake and the race is up. So, you know, I don't think any of those guys was even disappointed. You know, Anderson, Marvin, they weren't disappointed. They finished on the podium and they got beat by like 40 seconds. They weren't mad because they knew Tomac was being black. He was burnt. He was going to get burnt all day. And it was cold up in Seattle. He needed the heat. And they already knew it. So, yeah, when Barsha crashed, you're right. When he crashed on those tough blocks, man, they're like, it's like, you know, a coin flip. You don't know if the thing's going to, like, balloon you. You don't know if it's going to land. It's just going to tuck from underneath you. So, you on for the ride with that. So, yeah, I always felt like when I went in a tough block, you could see the guy going like, oh, I don't, like, you don't know. When you endo and you know you're going to endo, you loop out, you know it's going to happen. When you hit a tough block, it's like box of chocolates. You just never know what you're going to get. It's like texting that girl. You're like waiting for her to be like, is she going to say, yeah, no, like, bing, oh. So that's kind of a tough block. So when Barsha hit that, you know, we was all along for the ride. And luckily he got unscathed, just like that dude in Last Chance. Dude hit like six of them.
Oh! Well, look out, look out, look out. Hold on to what?
On there and still got it. That was pretty cool. But yeah, he got lucky. He got over that last little landing, over that jump. Otherwise, Bam Bam would have been Bam done. That would have been it. Would have been no more. Been in Flintstones all over at the end of the day. Show canceled. Next, he'd have been worried about that pinky finger. That would have been last of his problems. Like, he's like, yeah, I just got lucky. So, Barsha's crash comes from the rut Seattle. I mean, he didn't really do anything wrong. I mean, all day you saw guys kind of jumping on tough blocks and, you know, just the way the track was, traction, you know, no traction. Even though that track was rutted, you could see those shiny parts. It was slippery. But, you know, Barcia just goes in that corner, sets up. He didn't make a mistake in the corner. He's on the outside. So the only way he can go is back towards the inside on that. And he just kind of leans. Like, it's kind of like that Jet Lawrence when he hit that hay bale and he just kind of threw him off. His weight just got off to the side a little bit, and you could tell he just goes, instead of going left, he goes right, and he just jumps on the tough block. Wasn't even a mistake, really. If he was farther down, if he would have used that corner and cut down and gave himself a little bit more room, he could have made that adjustment where he had a little bit of room for error, but he was all the way on the outside. So as he goes off the face of the jump, he's leaned back. The tires hook up, and I think Brock Glover from Dunlop, he talked about it in the in between in the commercials that, you know, sometimes when you go to these races, you end up going to a lower profile tire or a tire that was skinnier, you know, from a 120 to a 110. And it's for reasons like this. You know, you go to a lower, a smaller profile tire or a skinnier, excuse me. It allows the bike to kind of wiggle and have some room in these ruts compared to, let's just say this was a 120. That's what happens. You know, you get into it, you lean one way or another, the tire hooks up because it's a wider one, it catches the side of those ruts and it shoots you one way or the other. So that's exactly why when you see rutted races, and if you're at the races, you hear the guys talk about different tire selection, not compound, you know, not like tread pattern. It's more the size of the tire. And it's to help moments like this. It's to help the whoops for the bikes to stop going side to side, for you to be able to, like, when you get in the rut, instead of the tire being filled out in the whole rut, you got a little bit more room for wiggle room. So usually when you get to the rutted tracks, that's what you try to go to. So in case in point, that's exactly why you would go to a 110, you know, size width of a tire compared to the normal 120. So to keep that stuff from happening. When I say these guys are fighting for second place, like, you know, take it as this. I'm not saying they're not racing to beat Eli. I think sometimes you get a sense of, damn, this guy's going to have to crash. This guy's going to have to do something, like even get a bad start. Even if Eli would have got dead last start, those guys would have raced behind him because he was just that good. And you can kind of sense, like, just sometimes guys are on it. I felt that with Dungy before. I felt that with Villopoto. I felt that with Ricky, Chad. You can just sense, like, the way they are from track walk, how they're smiling from first practice. If Ricky was super quick in first practice, I'm like, damn, he's on it. And certain tracks just, you know, fit other guys. So when I say they were racing for second place, like, they showed up on the gate, like, hoping to beat Eli. And it's not like they've given up on the title, because even with those guys, even though Barcia lost that $3,000 and it was 3 points last weekend, he's still fighting for, you know, a big, you know, points, bonus deal in the championship. Those guys still feel like they can win. But this particular night, the way this track was and the way Eli was riding, I just think they sense that when he got out front and, you know, like, he wasn't making a mistake, you know, a few laps into it, he was gone. They started racing for second place, and it's not like they showed up at the gate like, oh, wow, damn, Eli's fast tonight. They knew it. And so when I say that, I say, as just from being in that position, like, you get a sense of things, like, and I can only explain it as, like, it's like a sixth sense. Like, you had to been there and done that before, meaning you had to be in that position where you were doing it to other people, and you had to be in that position where you were having it done to you. I've been in both. So I just have a sense of, like, when I watch it, and again, I'm sitting 3,000 miles away watching it on TV, and knew from Vert Moto videos and, you know, from press day, that Eli was going to win. So if I felt it from way back here in Florida, Haines City, middle of nowhere, you don't think they felt it. So nonetheless, we're all racer. We're all stubborn. We all feel like we're the best and nobody else can beat us. But sometimes you just know you're going to get your ass kicked tonight. And I've had my ass kicked a bunch of nights. And, you know, fortunately for these guys, it happens. But guess what? You get to find Easter eggs next week. You get to go. You get to pray. You get to hope things will change. You get to go do some hot some eggs, go whatever on vacation, whatever the hell you do, whatever you do during the vacation, you get to go do that. You ain't got to worry about, you know, Black Toe Mac. Black Toe Mac. That's what we're going to start calling him, Black Toe Mac. You ain't got to worry about him. Not for another couple of weeks until you get to St. Louis. And I hate to tell you that. He's pretty good there too. So But round 13, you never know. Friday the 13th, Saturday the 13th, whatever it is, things can happen. But yeah, those guys are racing for second place. Next. Yeah, so this weekend, the track was pretty basic in the sense of like everybody was doing certain things, unless like, you know, you were hitting neutral off that, you know, jump on drop off, aka Chase Sexton, you know, feet flying over in practice. Hope you're well, buddy. You know, track was, everybody was kind of doing the same thing. But as that track broke down, what you saw was kind of like an Indy. Like I said, certain bikes just take certain things better. And when I watched, you know, Eli's bike, it's just the braking bumps going into the corners. It's like when he hit that triple into the off camber like deal, he's just more relaxed. And of course his bike moves side to side, but it's just like, it's just doing this, you know, like there's no, oh my God, movements. Like there's no like, you know, scary movements on there. And when you see these other guys, you can just see their whole body position. You can see it from their hands. You could just see, oh, that was a bump. That was a bump. And I think that's the reason why these guys, you know, start jumping. Poor Alex Martin, man. Damn. Like, damn. I don't think I've ever seen somebody just like endo jumping like 9 feet like that. It was like, oh my God. Hey, Matt, call your boy, man. I'll help you out, dog, because I feel bad watching you on that. But nonetheless, like, that's why I was afraid of jumping. My stuff was too stiff. That's what would end up happening to me. So not bagging you. I'm just saying I feel bad for you because, hey, you know, we've all done that, or maybe not. But still, we all dreamt of like hopefully never doing that. But back to what I was saying, you can just see Eli's bike, like he would hit the top of the whoops and it was just a, like it was almost soft. Like he's in a good spot where they've done a good job where both ends are really supple. You know, they feel like, you know, a double D. Per se, they're just nice and soft. I'll let you figure out what that means, but they're nice and soft. You do hit them, and they give a little bit, you know, compared to, you know, like some of these smaller ones, you know, A, B cups, you know, they're a little stiff. So, you know, he's riding with double D's and they're riding with, you know, B cups. So whatever. And, you can just watch everywhere, like in the corners coming out of that. Eli's bike has that traction. So he made a lot of distance up in the whoops and, you know, coming out of the corner. Probably the easiest line to hit was actually coming back out of that corner, squaring up and getting back to the inside, which sets you up better for that next corner. Because, you know, the fastest line, hot laps, so just railing that corner and staying down the inside of the whoops, or staying on the outside, excuse me, setting you up for the inside for the next corner. Eli was actually, you know, just running down that, which was the toughest line. Guys were jumping and you just see him like jumping the finish line, jumping triples. He's just really free. And I believe like watching his motorcycle, just like it was at, you know, a few weeks ago at Detroit and in Indianapolis, it just looked way more supple to ride. In case of point, I think over time, as that track got broken down, he really never changed. Like his attack around the racetrack looked the same. I remember like watching, it was like 5 or 6 minutes into it. I'm like, damn, are those guys catching him? And the way Eli looked when he was riding, it looked like he was going to be beating those guys by like 40 seconds, like on there. And I think for him, it was just easier for him to just keep that pace up. And again, that's the best I've ever seen that guy ride, period. His minute wins, whatever. It's the best I've ever seen that guy ride, especially on the Supercross track. And again, like I said, when you're watching that, you are watching one of the best guys that's ever raced in the history of Supercross. Now, if you want to put him up Mount Rushmore, somebody's got to go. My ass ain't going nowhere. I don't know who you're going to put it. Let's let him finish the deal, and we'll see whatever he continues next year. But as far as a one-night race and how he looks, yeah, he is one of the best ever to do it. And yeah, I'm glad I ain't got to race him. So, yeah, and unfortunately, those guys got to do it. So, you know, going back to, I think it was, what track was like 40 seconds on the lap times? And I was saying, like, you think of shorter tracks, you think of better racing, you know, case in point, this is what, 49 seconds?
Yeah, 48
seconds. And, you know, again, look where they lapped up to, like seventh. And the dude's cruising. And at one point, I mean, the only people you can lap, he'd have been lapping like Cooper Webb would have been next. So the short lap times, you know, and I think just, you just get in traffic a lot, and it happened in a 250 class. You know, those guys got in traffic. That's the only reason why, you know, the race got closer than what it was. Cause at one point, you know, jumping around a little bit, Craig was after he got taken out by Mosman or whatever, after he got an altercation with Mosman. I ain't gonna say take out. Mosman went in there hot, like he should have went in hot. And, you know, Craig fell over, but he ended up beating him anyway. So it's cool.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's not cool because I've been there, but it's interesting to watch, like, when guys like Mosman, correct? Like, he's on Craig. Like, he's faster than him, really. You know, Craig tries to do his things, whole shot out front, you know, trying to pull away. Mosman's just right there. Like, he's running in on him, like, and he looks like he's way faster. And then all of a sudden, he's in the lead. Mosman, Craig goes down, Mosman's in the lead. And then he starts running from, like, 48s, 49s to 51s. You know, you start racing behind you. And where before, like I said, you can always, it's easier racing in second place because you see where the guy's breaking. The guy in front of you is worried about you, like, all right, he's going to take me out. He's going to do this, especially if you got an aggressive guy behind you. And then now when you get put up in that position where you're the guy and the only way you lose this race is by you losing this race, it changes your whole perspective. And that bleeds down into, like, hey, becoming one of the top guys and then being expected to be the top guys. That same thing where you saw with Mosman and being in that position of, like, okay, this is on me. If you don't win this race, it's like, what happened? That goes into, like, life in general, being expected to do something compared to, like, just doing it. It's a different feeling. So watching Mosman out front, like, you just saw, like, a guy that was like, oh, he started racing behind him. And, you know, I thought Hunter did a good job at not doing that. I think Hunter, some guys are in positions where they are as fast as they are. Okay. Man, duh. I guess let me rephrase that. They are as fast as they are, meaning they can't go no slower. They can't go no faster. They're going to give it 100%. And that's all they got. Where some guys, like, let's just say this race right here, Mosman, clearly he was faster when he was trying to chase Craig. He was actually the fastest. And when he got in first, he slowed down. He's like, he had another level, which he dropped back, where I think Hunter was riding as hard as Hunter can ride, whether he was in second, third, first, whatever it was. I think that's all he had. So when he got up front, he didn't change. Like, that's all. He kept riding like he normally was because that's all he had. And all he had was a victory and a neck burn for him. But sometimes you get put in positions where you know you can go faster. You know you got more left in the tank and you're not showing that. It's just a pressure thing and things happen compared to, like, it's hard for guys to lead races like that. Like, I've experienced that. I've seen it. And I guess my point is that you saw that with Hunter because you're like, well, Craig was rolling. Craig was coming. Why didn't Hunter change? Like, was he, like, is he stronger mentally than Michael? Like, I don't know. I don't know him well enough to say the difference. But what I do know is that Hunter's, like, number six on the Yamaha. He's like the Alex.
Jeremy Martin.
When you watch that guy ride, you give him 100%. That's all he got. Little man could ride. He's doing this thing. He ain't rope-a-doping nobody. He ain't, like, messing around. That's all he got. So if you're fasting him, then you ain't got to worry about him like being like messing around with you. I felt like I had that sense with Ricky. Water break. I felt like I had that with Ricky when I raced him. There was no jokes with him. Like, I mean, yeah, he might slow down the last couple laps of the heat race, you know, to be like, he wanted me to pick the first gate so he can go on the inside of me. I know what's up. Like, come on, Jay, been there, done that. I done that to you, been done to me. But nonetheless, that's when you're so close. You got to find those things. Like, if he was riding on my private airplane, it was a reason why he was on there, because it was a way I can beat him. That was it. He ain't riding on there to share the cost. Rather pay, go broke doing it and let Ricky ride on my plane, whatever. And he was the same way. So he would do that. But I felt like when I raced Ricky, it was always the same. I knew what I was going to get. I knew that was just a Whopper with cheese, like mayo and ketchup. That's it on there. It wasn't no, you know, Chad Reed was like a, you know, a happy meal. Like, okay, I expect to get a French fry and a cheeseburger, but sometimes they put pickles on that thing, or you end up with a chicken nugget. And then all of a sudden you get a girl toy when I'm a boy, when I ask for the boy toy. Like, that means like, dude, like he was there. I'm all excited. Like, I got him. And all of a sudden it's like a, you know, a Barbie up there. I'm like, whoa, like I didn't ask for this. That was Chad Reed. And he was difficult to race. That's what made him special. You know, like, you just never knew what you're going to get. Ricky was like the Whopper. Like, hell, like it's 2 for 2. That's all you get. Don't even ask. It's a buffet. You see what you're getting. You're going to get it because you picked it up. That's what it was. Goddamn Happy Meals. And that's what, you know, Michael was, you know, to, I don't even know where I was thinking about Happy Meals and Whoppers now. But you get what I'm going, people. But anyways, Cole, that was enough for that. And you know what time it is. God damn it, Eli. I said last weekend, stop doing it. You got Chad on there talking about like, oh, yeah, that's cool. You know, you don't like that either. But like all of us, all the greats, if you've been in that position, like, even though you might not like it, you respect it. And we know we're watching something. Eli knows it. He knows, like, he's in a dream right now. Like, it's just happening for him. He don't even know why it's happening. It's happening. And they see it happening. I see it happening. And what I do see happening is somebody about to get a neck burn. Hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan. Neck's on fire.
Damn, that neck on fire. You're going to have to start wearing, like, I thought, like, Alphonse Starr. I thought they put like a little coat over there because his neck been so burnt. Like, I've been hearing he's been peeling and stuff like that. But yeah, Eli Tomac. Damn, you good, buddy. You good. You good. I don't even know what else to say about that. You're good. Neck burnt. It might be so numb. He might not even know. And Cole will fill in the details for all the people that don't know about the neck burns. It's, you know, when your neck is on fire, blah, 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 blah. It's the fire that goes off when you win the race and it burns the back of your neck. Like, seriously, you ever been to, well, anytime you win a race, you get a neck burn. The thing goes off. You know what that was? It's like when you, hey, would you like to buy this new car on there? Like, yeah, it's free. And then all you hear is like, that's what that was. So nonetheless, Eli Tomac, congratulations. You got another neck burn. Take that in over there, find you some Easter eggs with little Johnny and little Sue, whoever you got. You saw his team manager out there like dominant. He's like, yeah, I don't even know where is he living. Is he in Colorado still or is he in Florida? Who knows? Dude's living on the next level. He's on a different planet. He's ET, extraterrestrial. Tomac, congratulations, bro. You still 6 more. You ain't gonna get me this year. All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time. Hell, all of us favorite time. Eli's favorite time, because he's always on the one side of that. Stews and stews. Let's get into it. But first, I need a water break and a break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we back. Did you have a good break? I did. Got some water, got some breaks. Cole had to go pee-pee, but we back. You know what time it is. My favorite part. Your favorite time. Hell of us. All of us favorite time. Stews and stews. So let's get into it. We're going to start with the stew. People, you know where I'm going. I've been going there all week. I mean, all year it seems like Eli Tomac, Stu. Now, should I just like I don't even know how to run this segment because it's boring for everybody else, but not me because we're watching. I'm watching something. You're watching something. Don't get bored with it. It's like The Wife. Yeah, you probably could get the 30-second card girl if you want to, but she's there. She's there. And that's what we're watching. Like, he's just wifeable. He's just your wife. So Eli Tomac, you're the first Stew. And I guess like the gap that you had on everybody else looks kind of like this. You know, like Eli goes fast, like meow. And then there's the rest of them. That's what it was. That was the gap in the race. So, hey, if that was awkward, sure it was awkward. It was awkward watching it. But damn, dude was gone. He was laughing seven up to seven. And my elbow almost fell off the chair right now. But it just happened. So, hell, Eli Tomac, you the first dude. Now, you know how, like, I say I keep this show authentic? I don't even know where I'm going to go next. Like, I don't even know if I have another one. So maybe we have to come back. What do you think, Cole? Like, we have to go back? Let's just hit him with a suntan, though.
Suntan. Next on fire.
Next on fire. I'm going to keep this show like Eli kept that boring. So let's get into the Stew. You know what time it is, people. Stew. People pissed off. There's a lot of animosity going on, too. Like, I don't know if their rent's late. I don't know if they had a bad flight. Did they lose their luggage? They don't do it on purpose, but sometimes people take it so damn personally. Like, it is what it is. They lost it. Get a bag tag. Ah, better yet, carry on. Man, they charge you like $25-$50. Anyways, so yeah, last weekend we had the two guys fighting in the LCQ, or actually they were fighting in the heat race. And I can tell you, people, like, it's been a long season. It's been a grind. Some of these privateers, they got to drive to the races. They got to hit the Starbucks. They got to hit McDonald's and whatnot. Sometimes they put the onions on the cheeseburger when you ask for no onion, no pickle. It happens. And they come to the race, they're pissed off. In case in point, you saw guys getting pissed off last weekend, and you see another one. Now, I don't even know why these guys are fighting. Well, they was fighting because somebody took out somebody, and you could tell the guy in the orange and black, he has some rage in him. Boy, it didn't just happen on the track. I don't know if they, like, you know, the girlfriends together or whatnot, say roommate, he didn't pay the rent, but whatnot. Dude was mad because he took him out, and he came right out, and then he's like, came back, and and then he wanted some more. And then the other guy jumps up as the Astra guys get there. Like, well, I was going to get you. I was going to get you. No, you wasn't. Dude was like slapping you around. And you're like, you know how it is. Of course, everybody, usually guy getting beat up, usually tries to fight when the guys come there and they try to hold me back. I was just getting up. I was going to give it to him. So, again, the Astra guy like, not really. Not really. In the radio, like, hey, let him go a little bit. Let him go. And he's like, all right, whatever. So, yeah, he got blasted. I can see why he'd be stewed. But hell, that boy has some rage. I had to do him a little anger management. So, of course, I don't even know their names. Cole, fill the names in for me.
Chance Blackburn is the one who came after Max Sanford. Max Sanford was the one who cleaned out Blackburn.
Well, you got Black Flag. That's all I know. Boy, rage. You see how that he was on him? Like, he was going to knee him. Then he thought better of that. Look at him. Look at him like, hey, no violence here. No violence here. Come on. Go on. Ding, ding. Are you ready to rumble? So those guys, of course, Stew. And another Stew, I don't even know if it really like makes sense, but Alex Martin, like, damn, bro, that crash you had was, whew. I don't even know if he was Stew or sad on there. That was a big one. They showed it. They highlighted it on there. So, yeah, you got your boys on play. And sometimes when people hit the ground, they hit it. Some people just don't know how to fall. And he's so small and compact. It's like a little troll. Just ball him up right now. He hit that ground. Didn't see how he left the mark there. It's probably still sitting there. But he got up. He made the main event. He came back. Water break. I ain't going to put the top on it. We back anyways. Yeah. So Alex Martin, you stewed. Nope. You sad. You sad. And then you had Chase Sexton. Now, is he stewed or what? Like, he was stewed because, you know, he got in Way's El Hombre. It happens every practice. People, like, if you don't watch, you got to watch Supercross Live, Race Day Live. You got to watch the show. That's how you get your insight. Watch him. So it was like a practice thing. Like, a guy got in the way. He was trying to get his fast lap, trying to get in his way. Not on purpose. But you saw this coming. People, you saw it coming. He gets in El Hombre's way. El Hombre, of course, is El Hombre. He messes up his lap. He pulls out his nine, throws it up. Chase like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. Chase like, you know what? He pulls out his nine and he's like, oh, he's getting back. So anyways, I think Chase is like, forget it. No violence. I'm going to go and try to do my lap. He goes on, does his lap. He makes a mistake after the finish line, makes another mistake going after the down the start. So you knew it was coming, people. And boy, jumped on that tabletop. Next thing you know, he was like Simone Biles up in that joint. He was handstanding. I believe he hit neutral. You can say whatever, like, that's just not. You see the flying W? He was like, no. I'm doing this because it's in slow-mo. No. Boom. The bike hit him. All messed up. Boy. But he can take a hit. I don't know if it's like the Indiana, like Rockies, like whatnot. Dude can take a hit. You don't want to keep taking him. But damn, that was a hard crash. So
Illinois.
Don't interrupt me. Illinois, Indiana, it's all up there. Wherever it's at, Midwest, Smith, South, it ain't here. It ain't there. He's still late there. Yeah, and then he probably, I don't know if he was like, oh, yeah, the bike kicked me. Somebody kicked you. The Holy Ghost must have kicked your bike in neutral. Yeah, look at it. Like, oh, that ain't nothing. That was you flying W, Simone Biles. Again, Olympics is over, boy. You've been doing it. I've been getting flipped up, fold up. Just happened for them boys in Illinois. Did I get it right that time? All right. So that was another one. And then who else? Somebody else jumped off the track? Oh, that was Cooper Webb. Cooper, man. I don't even know what to say about you. You pissed. And then the rest of y'all pissed. I don't even think you are, Stu. Because sometimes, like I say, you see it coming. You see it coming. I just feel like this weekend you can't be Stu at Eli. We saw it. And dude gave his wife an awkward kiss. It's awkward. But hell, he gave it a kiss. Little Johnny was down there. Little Cindy, you know, they were down there. And like, he was like, oh, give me a kiss. She's like, oh, give me a kiss. He's like, hey, baby, that was dominant. I don't even know if he kissed the lips, but hell, it happened. Maybe he's going to be stewed after watching it. You got to give it like the, what's up, girl? You know, I just dominate. Do you like that? Don't you like, Oh, we back. So that was it, people. That's my stews and stew. Eli Tomac, I'm going to give you a neck burn just for the hell of it. Hit him with it, Cole.
Suntan, necks on fire.
You got Jeremy Coker. I think that's his name. I can't believe I remember his name right now. He's like way lower there. They're still racing. They're still racing for second over there. And you done. You already gave mama out an awkward kiss. It just happened. Well, people, hope you guys have a great weekend. I don't even know if we're shooting the show. I don't know if Cole's going to be down there. I don't know. I got to see how much tickets are. You know what I mean? Eli's making it. Nobody wants to sponsor the show, whatever. I don't know. Nonetheless, happy whatever. What holiday is it again?
I don't think it's honestly Easter because Easter is the weekend after.
What? I said they're going to go find some eggs. They racing on Easter.
It's Ramadan.
Ramadan. What the hell holiday is that?
Easter is, hang on, maybe, no, it's not showing Easter on there.
They took it off the schedule.
off the calendar.
Easter Bunny got COVID this year.
Yeah, Easter is.
He out sick.
Easter is the 17th, which is the day after Atlanta.
What? Why y'all taking off time? You got to be kidding me. Hey, I guess they're like, hell, we just going to take off the first week of April just because we got to take off. My bad. You're going to have to edit the show out. I'm calling Easter egg. They're going to hunt some eggs anyway. Ah, whatever. They done lost their spirit. That's what they need to find on there because Tomac's lost in a goal. Well, happy Easter when it does happen in 17 days or whatever it will. But enjoy your weekend off. I'm sure we will here. Bubba's World. And people, stay black. Stay black. I don't even know where that came from, but it came out. I came out because I love you. All right, people. That was it from round 12 up in Seattle, Washington, where you saw Eli Tomac dominate. I think those guys are still racing up there. I mean, he's back on the plane. But nonetheless, like Eli dominant again. And you saw the guys on the podium. You can always tell what people think of other people by the way they look. Look at Alhambra. Was he mad? Nope. Was he mad? Nope. You can see it. He talked about how he didn't have it tonight, but he's just happy to be up on the podium.
Coming out second was nice.
What he didn't know was Eli had it. And that's all he had. It wouldn't have mattered. If you did have it or not, if you'd have busted out, you pull out your whole gats. Ain't nothing. He had the bulletproof vest. He was just flying over there. And the French, Marvin, congratulations. You had a podium, I think, last weekend. I don't remember, but maybe you did. I don't know. But you on here again. I always know you're on TV because, again, I'm like, damn, he's still talking. Like, damn, he's still talking. I went in to get some coffee in the French brigade. He's still talking. I love you, Marv. Hey, I guess you got to take advantage of it when you get it on there. He's still talking. But nonetheless, congratulations, boys. Congratulations, Hunter. You know, I don't know the other guys, too. All y'all, stop fighting. Let the violence go. People, we don't need no more fights. Kind of do. Raise TV rating. Got us talking about it. But that was your stews, the shows, neck burns, all of it, put it in together. And then that's it from round 12 from Seattle. And I'll see you guys, not next weekend. I'll see you the other weekend, which I thought it was Easter, but it ain't. So, well, I'll see you when I see you. Round 13. Where they racing at? St. Louis? I already knew it. Cole, hit him with something again.
Suntan, next on fire.
Next on fire, people. That's it. I love you guys. See you next time.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.